Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. We'll talk about the 49ers' 19-13 loss to Arizona in just a moment with Steve, but first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America, and that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. And now Steve Bono joins us to talk about the 49ers' loss to the Arizona Cardinals. And it was an exciting game, Steve. I mean, my first question for you, since you were at the game, is I was wondering if you threw any penalty flags on the field because they were flying from everywhere. So I thought maybe you were one of the guys throwing them.
I definitely didn't need to because they were definitely flag happy.
Well, the worst one, and we've talked about this before, when you go back to that game the 49ers lost, a couple of years ago, when Brooks had that penalty, Ahmad Brooks had that penalty on Drew Brees, and this time it's Quentin Dial on Carson Palmer. And you were a former quarterback. I mean, when you look at that, is that really a penalty for roughing the passer?
No, that was a perfect hit. And that was one of the three that I think was really bad, and very unfortunate, because they were all at critical times. I mean, that was the third down one. The I think they called it an illegal chuck on the third down, and it was on the inside receiver. The ball was thrown down the field to the left toward the Niners bench, and it was a pretty good play by the DB. You know, they both were hand fighting and, you know, going for the ball, but then they called an illegal chuck on the slot receiver, which was just a, you know, I mean, they showed the replay of what they were calling the penalty, and it's just a mystery.
Well, they called something on Vance McDonald, offensive pass interference. It was a joke too. I mean, he's just running down the field.
Yeah.
They call that. Some of these calls, I mean, I'm not just saying this because the 49ers lost, some of the 49ers players were blaming the officials, saying they played, I think Anquan Boldin said they played two teams, the Cardinals and the officials. But this is just bad for the NFL. I mean, that Quentin Dial hit, that's bad for the NFL. You can't make that call.
No, you can't. You cannot. I mean, it was a perfect tackle. I mean, you can't avoid, I mean, he had his head up. Put his head right on his sternum. Yeah, I mean, the top of his helmet. Yeah, it's going to hit the guy in the jaw. I mean, or in the chin. That's just what happens. I mean, it's not like he was trying to do that.
No,
no, it was a perfect. I mean, that was a textbook tackle.
It really was.
and he gets flagged for roughing the passer. I mean, that was unfortunate. The other really bad one I thought was the one of the three pass interference calls in the end zone when Fitzgerald ran and basically stuck himself to the DB, you know, I don't even remember who it was, but he
might have been Ward. I think it might have been Ward.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, he ran in and got on Ward and basically drew the flag by doing that. There was one other one too. Maybe that's the one you were referring to earlier, the Vance McDonald, where they called the pick.
Yeah,
that was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was
absolutely
ridiculous.
I mean, he did exactly what he was supposed to do: release outside, get the DB to turn his back to the quarterback. Didn't pick anybody, not one person, and gets called for the pick.
Yeah, that was crazy. The other thing, I don't know that I've ever seen, Steve, more penalties in one sequence than when the Cardinals had that, you know, first and goal, and just kept becoming first and goal again because of pass interference.
I think there were 10 plays.
Yeah, I think there were 4 penalties in that sequence. Yeah. It was terrible.
It was really bad, and that was that one I was referring to. I think that was the second pass interference, the one that they called.
Part of that sequence, yeah.
Exactly. It was the second one where Fitzgerald ran and kind of stuck himself to the DB and kind of and drew that flag. The other ones, the other two down there, yeah, I could kind of see the one to the left on the deep, on the corner and the wide. I don't remember who it was, but that one could go either way. The other one on the, I forget who the linebacker was, but. That one, yeah, I would call that pass interference. I mean, he was face guarding. He wasn't looking for the ball.
Yeah.
I get that one. You know.
Yeah, there were a few of them that were right. And they didn't even know how many yards, or I'm sorry, they didn't even know what down it was at one point.
That was in that sequence, yeah.
Yeah. It was embarrassing, yeah.
It really was.
But all this being said, the 49ers still had a chance to come back and win the game there at the end, and they couldn't get it done. I mean, first of all, the sack that Gabbert took, you just can't take that sack.
You can't.
That 10-yard sack. I mean, what were you seeing on that play?
Yeah, that hurt. I mean, yeah, he's trying to make a play, but you unfortunately cannot take that sack in that situation. You have to do whatever you can to either get out of it or get rid of the ball. And then they made a great play on fourth down, but unfortunately, 2 yards too short.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that too, because I mean, you can depend on a receiver to make a play and catch the ball maybe 15 yards away when you need 20. I understand that, but just looking at it and saying, okay, this is desperation time, doesn't the receiver have to be past the first down marker most of the time?
Yeah, ideally you would be. I think if that ball is leading Anquan, I think he gets the first down.
Right, you know, he threw it behind him a little bit.
He threw it behind him a little bit, and he had to pull up, and that gave the DB the angle, but I think if he leads them, I think he probably gets it. You know, his momentum's still going, and he can fall forward for those 2 yards.
Let's talk about the progress of Gabbert, and you know, for the most part, I know that you've liked the way that he has played, and he showed more of that. Awareness to be able to roll out, you know, get the first down if he needs to, throw on the run, that kind of stuff. But there is a little bit of criticism being thrown around for not taking more risks, throwing, maybe checking down a little too often. Do you notice that?
No, that's not jumped out at me. And I'm okay with that, you know, especially early in the game. Throwing underneath, you know, make those DBs play or linebackers play short throws and have to react to them, because if you know the more you do it early, it opens things up later down the field, because now they're like, wait a minute, he keeps throwing these checkdowns, or he's, you know, throwing to the underneath receiver, makes them a little more aware of it, and then you get a. You know, then you can get a corner route in later on, or a fade route, you know, at the second level.
Okay. Well, he does have the arm to be able to make those throws down the field what we've seen. Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
It seems like it's just a matter of making those connections with wide receivers. I mean, he definitely seems to like to throw to the tight ends.
Absolutely. And I mean, there was obviously a lot designed to go to the tight ends. Unfortunately, Selleck is injured, but those three tight ends, Selleck and McDonald and Bell, they're pretty good.
Yeah, Bell, that was a great play across the field, 48 yards for a guy who used to be a quarterback.
Shallow cross, yeah.
It's hard to believe he used to be a quarterback at Oklahoma.
I know, big guy.
Yeah,
I can see those three. Doing some good things in the future, you know, two of them for this year. I'm not sure that Selleck will make it back. I think they're saying he's got a high ankle sprain.
Yeah, he's probably going to be out the next game.
A high ankle sprain can last 5-6 weeks, but I think they've got a nice future with those three tight ends. They all run well. They you know, all pretty natural pass catchers, and I think they've got a good future there with those three. And Blaine seems to have a nice chemistry with them.
Yeah, there is some optimism surrounding Blaine. I mean, he's definitely he's getting the ball out quicker. He seems to have a pretty good idea. But, I mean, still the offense is just not scoring a lot of points. I mean, they're averaging like 14 points a game when he's in there. And they're not converting third downs. I mean, what are you seeing on the third downs? They were 0 for 9 on third.
They were, and they were coming home in the car. I was listening to the post game, and Ted Robinson was saying that they were in third and 8+8 of the 9 times, and
wow.
And the ninth one was 3rd and 7.
Yeah,
so
those are tough.
Those are low percentage ones. You know, 3rd and 7+, your conversion rate is maybe 33%. You know, 1 out of 3.
Yeah.
You'd like to be in 3rd and 3 or less, or not be in 3rd down. But one, they didn't convert. That didn't help, obviously. But two, they were in 3rd and longs a lot. And I think that's more the not being able to run the ball as well. I think that Sean Drone, pretty good.
Yeah,
you know, he runs hard. He's you know, he's knows he's got an opportunity, and he's I think taking advantage of it. But they need some help up front, opening the holes better.
Yeah, because it's inconsistent. I mean, he'll have a decent run here, but then he'll lose 2 or 3 on the next carry.
Yeah,
yeah,
inconsistent. Yeah.
What about the defense? Because last week it was pretty much a disaster in Seattle.
Yeah.
They couldn't tackle anybody.
No.
You saw the running game for Seattle was just, you know, crazy.
Yeah,
Thomas
yeah.
Rawls. This week, completely different.
So good.
Yeah.
I mean, so good with you know, even without Dorsey, obviously. Some of those younger guys really stepped up. Armstrong, but I think it's Armstead.
Armstead. About Mike Purcell, too. He got playing
Mike
time.
Mike Purcell played well. I thought Ian played well. Ian Williams, he's been playing pretty well all season, though. I thought he had a really nice game. But some of those younger guys really stepped up, and boy, they played well. Defense was terrific. I mean, again, you hold a team to 21 or fewer points, you should win most of them.
And this is a team that was averaging 33 a game, 33.6. They were averaging over 400 yards a game, so they were leading the NFL, by the way, in both of those categories.
Yeah,
and they
yeah.
destroyed
yeah.
the 49ers the first time, 47-7.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, this is a major major improvement for the defense.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, going forward, hopefully they can continue to play that way. I think it's a matter of, you know, being ready to play. Who was it that said, I think you had mentioned it last week, that they weren't, somebody commented that they weren't ready.
Yeah, I think it was Brooks. I think it was Amon Brooks. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm not sure how much he'll be seeing the field.
No, that was not
either.
A good comment.
So, yeah,
no.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he'll. I think there'll be, you know, yeah, I'm not sure he's going to see the field much anymore.
Well, I think Palmer in this game too was able to, you know, make some deep throws, but not a bunch to Fitzgerald. That's where I thought he got his catches, but he didn't make those big plays.
Yeah, and you take away the one, and he's falling back and chucks it up there, and got, you know, receiver makes a nice catch on it.
Yeah, got lucky on that one.
Yeah, I mean, that's that one kind of big play that they have been giving up in every game. You know, there's always seems to be that one big one.
Well, it seems like they were more aggressive.
Eric
Mangini was dialing up more blitzes, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought they were. But for whatever reason, you know, matchup-wise, I don't know. I think the front seven played much better.
What about the way they're disguising coverages too? You show blitz and then you pull back or whatever. How much does that throw off a quarterback, a veteran guy like Carson Palmer? I wouldn't think he'd get thrown off too much, but he wasn't on top of his game the way he normally is.
No, but it definitely helps. I think we've been doing that all year. The problem has been that, especially early on, we were blowing coverages doing that. You know what I mean? We were getting confusing ourselves. I thought they did a nice job of it on Sunday, and I don't know, last week I think it was more just that didn't tackle and we couldn't stop the run.
No, not at all. How do you look at these kind of losses? Because, you hear different things. Jim Tomsula basically has said it's hard to really look at too many positives when you lose. Nobody wants to lose a game, but at the same time, to be in this game right to the end, and sort of like that Giants game where they didn't win it, but at least they were in till the end.
Yeah. I think that's how I looked at it. I mean, my comment even to my wife was, God, that one hurt. You know, they played hard, they played well, and had a chance to win it. But obviously didn't. So I think you got to look at the positives of it. We did play pretty well. We just have to figure out how to finish and win games like that, because most games in the NFL are like that. I mean, it's kind of rare when there's just a complete blowout.
Yeah, and they're playing well against a good team, a team that's 9-2. So
yeah.
That helps. Now they get to play the Bears on the road, and the 49ers have not played well on the road. They're 0-5. They've been blown out a lot on the road, except for that Giants game. But what do you look for in this game against Jay Cutler and the Bears?
Well, you never know what you're getting with Cutler. So
right.
In my mind, they need to go in. They need to take away from this past Sunday that, okay, we can do these, we can stop the run, we can play good defense, we can move the ball offensively. Yeah, we got to get better on third down, we got to score some more points. We're going in against the team, what are the Bears, 6-5 or 7-4?
5-6, but they still have a
five,
shot.
Okay.
Yeah, they still
have a shot. I mean, but, we need to play against a 5-6 team, like we played against a 9-2 team, and we can win a ball game. But we're going on the road. So as George Seifer used to say, on the road, you have to beat your opponent, you have to beat the officials, and you have to beat the fans. I mean, that's the way it is.
Right. Although the Bears are 1-4 at Soldier Field, which is bizarre.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But they're going to be well rested. They played the Thanksgiving game.
Yeah.
But they won that game. And that's the thing about the NFL this year. It's so hard to predict.
Yeah.
They never win in Green Bay, at least not in recent years, I don't
know. No, in Green Bay, boys, you talk about struggling. Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah, God.
It's so unpredictable. By the way, I saw something funny. There's a photo of Blaine Gabbert in the paper the other day throwing the ball, and he's holding it with – He doesn't have the
laces.
Did you notice that?
I've noticed that a few times. I don't know exactly what picture you're referring to, but I noticed it a few times that there was a ball on Sunday that I noticed. He just caught it and threw it, and I was like, what? How do you do that?
How do you even throw a ball without the laces? How do you throw a spiral?
I don't know. But that's what these guys have learned, and they've had to learn. Because they throw it out of the shotgun, and you're trying to throw a quick arrow route or a flat route, and you just have to catch it and throw it. You don't have time to find the laces where when you take the ball under center, the laces are in the right spot every time.
Right, I thought it was kind of like the Jim Furyk golf swing. You don't teach it, but yeah, if it works for him,
you know.
But I guess you're right. This is more of just an impromptu. Okay, I got to just chuck the ball.
Catch and chuck. Yeah, I mean that's what they do a lot now out of the out of the shotgun.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
all right, Steve. Well, hey, thanks a lot. Look forward to talking about this Bears game next week.
I hope it's I hope it's a win. I mean, they got five games left. I'd love to see them win four of them. They can win. You know, Cincinnati, they're going to come in here pretty good, you know, making a drive toward the playoffs. So these other teams, I think they got a chance to win all four.
And if the defense plays as well as it did on Sunday, they're going to have chances to win these games.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, Steve, we'll talk next Tuesday.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, Joe.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. And as we talked about, we'll be back next Tuesday to talk about the 49ers game in Chicago against the Bears. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to San Francisco 49ers Extra.